special edition of the Steel Cage Podcast. This is your captain speaking, Captain Caveman, Derek Montilla. Happy to have someone very special with us today, but first, I'm joined by the founder and proprietor of thesteelcage.com, Joshua Schlag.
This is your captain speaking? I don't think I've heard that one. Did you do that just to show off for Adam Cole?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'm just trying to be the cool guy here. But as Josh mentioned, joining us today is widely considered one of the most popular independent wrestlers in the world, as former champion for Ring of Honor and pretty much everywhere he's gone, the one and only Adam Cole, baby.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course, of course. Happy to be here.
All right. So, Adam, you've been out for a little bit. We talked on before we got on the air, but we wanted to know how are you doing? How's the injury going?
Yeah, I think the best way for me to describe it, kind of like what I said to you guys before we got on the air, is that the worst is definitely over. This is my first major injury of any kind, and I think something that a lot of people may not know. I know it was reported that I got shoulder surgery, but as a matter of fact, not only was it shoulder surgery, it was tricep and elbow surgery as well. I had been working for 2 years with a partially torn tricep and literally like a broken elbow. Just because I refused to take time off. This was right in the middle of my Pro Wrestling Guerrilla world title reign, wow. Right in the middle of my Ring of Honor world title reign, so I just wasn't saying no. And unfortunately, my shoulder dislocated in a match, and I popped that guy back in, finished the match, and then went to go and weight train the next week, and it was just impossible. I was having trouble sleeping. I was having trouble training. And training is so important in pro wrestling. So I had to go under the knife and get some surgery. So mentally, it's very tough. It's definitely tougher than the physical part. But I'm halfway home. I'm almost there. Stuff's going really, really well for me.
Oh, we're happy to hear that, man. But that sounds like a pretty devastating injury. Is the reluctancy to go under the knife just pretty much about, you know, your spot and where you were at the time? Does that have a lot to do with it?
I think for sure. I think the scariest thing is you have kind of in your mind that, you know, if you're out of sight, you're out of mind. So my biggest fear was I had just a killer 2014. It was definitely the best year I've had in pro wrestling so far. And I wanted to keep riding that wave and riding that momentum. But then realizing that going into 2015, I wasn't going to be able to perform at the level that I knew that was expected of me, and not only by the fans, but from myself as well, that it was time for me to get surgery. You know, I'm only 25 years old. I got a lot of years left in the tank for me as a pro wrestler. So I thought taking care of this injury now while I still can will be important. And even maybe just giving the fans a chance to miss me a little bit. You know, hopefully it'll pay off in the end. And like I said, I cannot wait to come back. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a good amount of that going on these days. I have to say, like, I constantly am seeing, you know, tweets and news posts showing up on the various websites about, hey, when's Adam Cole's return date coming? What's his status? All that sort of stuff. And I agree. I think 2014 was a killer year for you. You're constantly coming up, and maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit here, Derek. You're constantly coming up in, you know, all the rumors about, you know, who's coming up next to WWE and all that sort of thing. It reminds me of, like, looking back at Kevin Steen, now known as Kevin Owens to everybody in NXT. But, like, just that whole thing of, like, the building the suspense of, you know, is he coming, is he not? Obviously, you've got other stuff to take care of in the meantime, but just, like, I don't know, like, you're definitely in the realm of pro wrestling fans topics of discussion, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, it, you know, to me that's always been like such a giant compliment. You know, for fans to know that I'm out with an injury, and I know some people even questioned the legitimacy of the surgery. Some people were thinking that I was just leaving to go to NXT. They thought, "Oh, this was Adam Cole's way of kind of having a really silent farewell in the indies, and he's going to NXT. But I can assure each and every one of these the listeners here that I did legitimately get surgery. But yeah, no, it's definitely a big compliment to me, and it's something that I take a lot of pride in. And my fans are great. The ones that love me and the ones that love to hate me. Either way, they're very supportive, and they make a lot of noise during Adam Cole matches. So I'm happy about that.
Well, and you're known as part of Mount Rushmore with the Young Bucks and Kevin Steen. And you guys all kind of have that same appeal. You all have that, you know, people love to love you as much as they love to hate you. How is that being, you know, a character? Like, when you go out in a night where the crowd is absolutely just completely over for you, but you're supposed to be a heel, what do you do in that case?
Yeah, well, it all depends on where I'm at. Like, for example, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is just a completely different animal in and of itself.
Yes, it is
pro wrestling like nothing else, and it is the most fun and the most exciting independent wrestling experience you can get in the country, in my opinion. But at the same time, a lot of these matches and a lot of these shows, there's no real builds in the cards. It's kind of just the top independent talent from all across the country, in some cases the world, and they're throwing these matches together, and everyone's going out there, and the fans are just appreciating great pro wrestling. So in that scenario, every time I go out to Reseda, California, my goal is to just be as entertaining as humanly possible. When I was the world champion, though, I was very cautious and very aware of wanting to be a guy that the people hated. And to me, when you are a heel at the Ring of Honor level or at the PWG level, the biggest key to success on that front is you have to be really, really unselfish and really, really confident in yourself. The unselfish part comes from making the babyface or the good guy that you're in there with, making him the star, making him the guy that the people want to see, you know, kick your ass or whatever, or win the match or whatever it is. And the confident part comes from not only the immediate reaction that you get from the audience, but the backlash in many cases that you get from the internet. Because we're in this crazy internet era now where everyone can voice their opinion on multiple platforms of social media. So a lot of the heels nowadays, you have to be willing to take comments like, oh my God, if I see another boring Adam Cole match, I'm gonna kill myself. Oh my God, Adam Cole's the worst world champion ever. I just wish he'd go away. You have to be able to take those comments in stride.
Does that mean you've been a success? Like, when you see people hating on you and you're supposed to be hated on? I mean, because I can imagine with certain guys, no matter what you do, people are still going to love you. So when you see those kind of comments, does it help you to at least know you're doing something right in a way?
Yeah, for sure. But the thing is to me, there's a very fine line between that. Okay. And what I mean by that is if the fans are hating on you on the internet, but the live audience is just losing their minds and really enjoying themselves, and they're booing the crap out of you and really cheering the good guy, then you're doing your part. But if they're hating on you on the internet and they could care less at the live event, that's a problem. So you need to find that weird happy medium of doing enough to get a reaction from that 18 to 35 male demographic that demands a lot of creativity and a lot of innovation nowadays in independent professional wrestling, while at the same time being hated in the process and having the good guy look like the star. So it's definitely a difficult process and something that I'm constantly still practicing and honing myself. You know, it's a never-ending journey of progression and learning. So, but that's the fun part to me about pro wrestling is there's never a moment, even Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair will tell you that they're constantly learning and constantly growing. So that's the fun part about this job.
Well, and you mentioned you're definitely young, and you have a long, you know, hopefully long career ahead of you. And
knock on wood.
Right, absolutely. Don't want to curse anything, but you got your start what in 2008? Is that mm-hmm. right, or was it before that?
Yeah, April 6, 2008 was my very first match. It was a battle royal in the infamous ECW arena. I borrowed a friend of mine's tights. I borrowed a friend of mine's kick pads. And I remember going out there for this battle royal and being so incredibly nervous. But now looking back and realizing that battle royals are literally punch, kick, and choke, it's kind of you know, hysterical to think that I was so worked up. But it was the greatest feeling in the world. I got to live out my dream of having a pro wrestling match, and you know, let alone in the ECW arena.
I think every guy has that one moment or that one person that they can say was a big influence on them becoming a pro wrestler. Do you have a particular person that you would say or a moment that made you be like, I want to do that?
Yeah. My exact moment, I can tell you, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I bought the WrestleMania 17 VHS tape because the match that made me become a wrestling fan was Austin Rock 1 at WrestleMania 15 in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So I saw that this tape was Austin Rock 2, and I was like, oh my God, you know, I got to get this match. And I remember watching the build and the Limp Bizkit My Way music video and you know, Jim Ross and Paul Heyman pumping up the match and Howard Finkel saying it was no disqualification, JR being blown away. There being that 1 second of silence where it was like the air completely left the Houston Astrodome. And then Austin's music hits, that glass breaks, and 67,000 people rose to their feet at the exact same time. And I got goosebumps for the very first time in my life. I still get goosebumps when I talk about it. And at that very moment, I was so moved by Austin coming out to the ring that night and just thinking he was the coolest person on the planet. And I said, okay, being a fan is cool, but I don't know what I have to do. I have no idea how this process works, but being a professional wrestler is something I need to do.
That is so cool. Well, because that's one of those things, like, I feel like a lot of us kind of have that thought, but we don't, like, take it all the way to fruition. We're like, oh, that'd be so cool to be a pro wrestler. But you obviously, it sounds like your thought was a lot more developed at that point, where it's like, this is what I have to do.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I remember literally thinking, like, it was, I was on the wrestling team in middle school and high school, and my mother, who was always very supportive of me, she said, what are you going to do when you graduate high school? I said, well, Mom, I'm going to be a wrestler. And she goes, well, I hope you know that I'm not going to pay for this, and you got to figure this out on your own, and I don't know what you're going to do. So I quit the wrestling team to start working year-round. I still was in high school, but, you know, to start working year-round to save up for wrestling school, to where my senior year of high school, I went to wrestling school. It was so crazy because I look back on it now and, you know, how I've matured and become more of a man and how I'm more cautious of the decisions that I make. But the attitude I had when I was 15, 16 years old was, it literally was like there was no other choice. There wasn't even an inkling or a thought in my mind of, oh, maybe I'll be a wrestler. It was, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. Like, I was so ambitious and so driven to make the decision of wanting to be a wrestler. And now that I am a wrestler, I'm like the most self-conscious person like on the planet. But before that, I was so determined. I didn't care that the other kids made fun of me, that I wore wrestling t-shirts to school every day. I didn't care that I've never had a girlfriend in high school because I was the wrestling nerd. Wrestling was just something that I always knew I wanted to do. So it's very cool. I've said this before too. I feel like I've never worked a day in my life since I graduated high school. And that's a really, really cool feeling.
That's way cool. So you talk a little bit about, like, the way you progressed, you know, from, you know, being a fan to actually wanting to do it and then actually making it happen. One of the things that at least I'm kind of aware of is that you've had your fair share of injury. This shoulder injury is something that sidelined you for a little while, but you have, like, a history of concussions, all that sort of stuff. And I know a lot of that probably, you know, it's come with just, I don't know if early on, it was that kind of more along the lines of maybe not being so seasoned and just thinking you could just do whatever you wanted, or?
Yeah. Well, the first concussion that I got had a lot to do with, by no means am I blaming, you know, my trainers or the guys that I worked with, but they, when they were training us, they were very, very hard on us, and they made sure that we earned it, and they made sure that we wanted to actually be wrestlers, which I'm thankful for to this day. But it was stuff where they would just, you know, for 3 hours, they would do a heat drill where they would beat the snot out of us. And it was exhausting. It was tiring.
Yeah.
And they never intentionally hurt us. But again, because I wasn't as seasoned, there would be situations where I didn't put my head in the right position, or I ducked my head too early because I was tired, I was scared, whatever it was. And a shot would come, you know, like the first time I got a concussion, it was from an enziguri kick to my temple. And it was because I leaned into it too wrong because I was so blown up. I was so tired from, you know, getting beat up. Right. That was my fault. But and then again, from the following two that I got after that, that was because I came back too early. I didn't listen to my body. I didn't say, okay, I have to take a month off from this concussion. It was, I got a concussion. Okay, I'm wrestling the next night now too, because I'm 18 years old and I want to be a pro wrestler. And even the crazy thing too is, even back in 2008, I think it was pretty much widely regarded that if you didn't wrestle the next night, you were a big wimp. Whereas now, thank God that sports in general and pro wrestling have taken concussions way more serious, because they are very serious. They're actually the scariest injury that there is, because you don't have to wear a cast, you're not walking on crutches, you feel totally fine, but it's your brain you're dealing with.
Right. And that's something that's obviously come up in the media a lot with other sports, like you said, and it's come up recently with, you know, the WWE, for instance. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to get your take on that. Is there, you know, some of the treatment that new people, new wrestlers training to become wrestlers, receive, it is to a certain extent to toughen them up, but obviously from some of the information we've read about online and things we've heard about, it can go too far, in your opinion, right?
I think it's possible, but I think generally speaking, when a guy is concussed, if a concussion does happen, they are given the proper amount of time off. Okay. It's the matter or the idea of the concussion actually occurring. The thing for me is when I got into this, even when I was, 16, 17 years old, getting ready to go to wrestling school, I was aware that injuries like this were not only very possible, but very probable. So I think when you get into the pro wrestling industry, you have to expect that you are not going to leave at, 40 years old with a complete clean slate of no injuries. I think people realize that injuries are very possible. I know that there was a gentleman, I guess, who was suing the WWE for, him getting concussions. And to be honest, I don't know the whole story, but from an outside perspective looking in, I think it's just ridiculous. I think you know what you're getting into, and you have to be prepared for what you're getting into.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's kind of my take on that.
Like playing a sport, like playing football or anything else. It's kind of ridiculous to think that you're going to go in and play a game where people hit each other, or in your case, people essentially, beat each other up every night. Mm-hmm. And walk away injury free. So yeah, I kind of agree with you on that, definitely. So, all right. So your career led you to Ring of Honor, led you to some of these great performances that we've seen from you. Who's your favorite opponent so far that you've had a chance to do battle with? Either someone maybe just on a one off, or maybe someone you fight regularly.
I'll tell you what, it's so tough for me to pick just one, but if I were to pick just one, I think just based on the matches that we've had and the history that we've had together, both as partners and opponents, I think my favorite guy to work with would have to be Kyle O'Reilly. Okay. Just because looking back on, I remember the first real breakout for us was back in November of 2009, where me and him wrestled each other on a Dragon Gate USA pre-show for Gabe Sapolsky at the arena. Okay. And that was like our first big breakout match. And then we became a team known as Future Shock and Ring of Honor, where we kind of got to share the pressure together of being on that big stage at Ring of Honor. We've had some really fun matches out of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I think the big breakout match for me, I think the match that completely turned my career upside down was the Hybrid Fighting Rules match I had with Kyle. In New York City, where Kyle busted my mouth open and I was just literally squirting blood all over the place.
Those are very memorable pictures, by the way, if you haven't had a chance to see those.
Right. Yeah, I look like a character from The Walking Dead in some of these pictures. But to me, Kyle's so good. He's so talented. I think me and him complemented each other so well as a team, because if there were things I could help him on, whether it be poise or promos, there were 10 million things he was helping me on, like, match structure and technique and things like that. I just think Kyle's not only an unbelievable talent, but he's an unbelievable human. He's just a really, really great guy. And I think Kyle hasn't even scratched the surface of what he's capable of yet. To me, he's probably my favorite opponent.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his as well. And does it help when you come up with guys like that from one stage to another, like you said, from going from a smaller level up to Ring of Honor, to have friends and people you've worked with previously be at that same stage with you?
Absolutely. Especially for me and Kyle, Ring of Honor was our dream. That was where we wanted to end up. Mm-hmm. And for me and him to be thrown together as a tag team, I think that was done by design. But at the same time, we knew that the pressure wouldn't be so bad anymore. It's one thing to be thrown as a young guy, 20 years old, and being told, okay, now you're on Ring of Honor television, go figure it out. It was me and Kyle kind of sharing the nerves and the pressure together of going, oh, this is our first final battle, or oh, this is our first WrestleMania weekend. And we got to experience the highs and the lows together. So there's definitely a certain relationship you build with guys when you've been through everything together, like me and Kyle have.
Awesome. All right. Well, I just have to apologize because I'm probably going to derail it a little bit. Derek's been asking some awesome questions.
No, let's do it. Let's derail this thing.
So you mentioned the Young Bucks. We mentioned the Young Bucks earlier with Mount Rushmore and all that. And one of the things I absolutely freaking love is just goofy shit in wrestling. Like stupid moves that don't make sense, all that sort of thing. Like we see the Young Bucks, they'll do like backflip after backflip and then end it with a back rake.
Right.
And I've seen you do similar things, bouncing off the ropes and then you end it in a headlock. Or, Do you have any stories about, like, how you come up with all that stuff? Or and maybe just to another level, like, what's one of the more ridiculous things that's ever happened in the ring, planned or otherwise?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, the most ridiculous thing that's ever happened in the ring that has taken off is the entire S My D chant that has started for me in PWG. nobody believes me, but I mean this wholeheartedly. That chant was never planned. That was something I literally just did off the cuff. At Battle of Los Angeles, I wrestled Eddie Edwards, and me and him were circling around the ring, and Eddie started clapping, and everyone started clapping. And then we did a little standoff, we did a little exchange, and the crowd got really quiet again. And instantly, all this stuff started going through my head. And my thought process was, I did this tour in England for about 2 months when I was 19 or 20 years old. And when you're over there, you wrestle every single day. So instead of just doing the generic clap, I thought I'm going to do the We Will Rock You chant, the boom, boom, clap, boom, boom, clap. Yeah, so I thought I'll do this at PWG. And my intention, my thought process is the fans won't do it. And then I'll get really angry that they didn't do my clap, but they did Eddie's clap. So I start doing it. But of course, everyone in Reseda starts doing the We Will Rock You clap.
Right.
So I go, crap, now what am I supposed to do? And literally in my brain, I thought, I know. I'll say S My D like, to the We Will Rock You chant, and then it ended up becoming what I was known for a couple years in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. So to me, that's just the absolute most ridiculous thing that has ever taken off for me in pro wrestling.
How much of it is like that? How much of it is stuff that you just think of on the spot, and the next thing you know, it becomes a thing?
Yeah, a lot of it is stuff that you come up with on the spot. Don't get me wrong, there's definitely stuff that is planned and thought about,
right.
Especially when you have a better understanding of the audience. But to me, again, that was such a fun thing for me about PWG is because the crowd was so good, especially in those early stages, a lot of it was really experimental. Because you'd be out there and you'd feel a certain energy with the audience. Because as good as the PWG fans are, there are different attitudes that they have sometimes. Sometimes they want more ha-ha. Sometimes they want more strong style wrestling. You can literally feel it kind of in the air sometimes, depending on what show it is or where you are on the card. So that was always the really fun thing. So a lot of that definitely, like when I put matches together, lots of times I plan it like a fishbone. Like sometimes there'll be certain things, obviously, or direction that we want to go. But generally speaking, there's a lot of area for kind of ad-libbing and making sure the crowd is as satisfied as possible.
Nice. All right, well, so I have just one more ridiculous question, then I'll kick it back to Derek. So the whole Bay Bay thing, like, if I use that in tweets or something, like, I always, always get responses saying, hey, I think you owe Adam Cole money for that, which is hilarious now. It's something my brother has said for the longest time, and he always started saying it because he's a big, big Rocky fan. And that for him, that came from Thunderlips and Rocky III. Do you have, like, a story, an origin story for your usage of Bay Bay?
Yeah, I do, actually. A lot of people think that I took it from Chris Jericho. A lot of people think that when he would go, come on, baby,
yeah.
Which maybe subconsciously that had a part to play in it. But to be completely honest, the reason I started doing it was Joey Matthews, when he got released as Joey Mercury and then started doing some independent shows on the Northeast, particularly in Maryland, as a heel to get heat. He would just yell his name at the top of his lungs. He would yell, Joey Matthews! And everyone would boo and hate him. And I love Joey's work. So I thought, well, I want to do that. I want to yell Adam Cole, but I can't completely steal his shtick. And for whatever reason, when I was in the ring, Baby just came out afterwards. Because initially it was just Adam Cole, Baby. And then it got more and more obnoxious. And it turned into Adam Cole, Baby. It just became insane. And then I started spelling it that way. And it just took off. It was something I stuck with and committed to. And the fans followed me on the ride.
Awesome.
It's awesome. I walk around my house doing that most weekends. You
know. Still, yes.
That's the highest compliment I could get. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. And I'll tell you this much: we went to PWG. We were at
Bola.
Bola. I'm sorry.
Right.
I got lost there for a second, but it was one of the best experiences that we've had as far as pro wrestling goes.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
You know, it's one of those things that, despite the big shows that we've went to and you know, going to WWE and all the different things, WrestleMania, all the stuff we've gone to, that to me is I guess that's what wrestling is all about, and that weekend kind of exemplified how good pro wrestling can be and how cool the pro wrestling community can be. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and how much you like the indie circuit versus, you know, some of the big stage that you also appear on.
Yeah, kind of like what you were saying about Bola. I think the coolest thing about about independent wrestling is the intimate atmosphere that it creates. Because I remember being in high school when I first discovered Ring of Honor. It was either late middle school or early high school years for me. And I remember going to one of the events, and I felt so at home. Because when I would go to WWE events, and again, this is no knock on WWE. I'm actually a big fan of their product, and I like what they do. But when I would go to WWE events as a fan, I remember being that fan that was like really jacked up and really into everything. Mm-hmm. And everyone was kind of like really reserved around me. And I was embarrassed. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to yell or I don't want to freak out too much because I'm like that one weird guy that's going crazy.
Right. But when especially I went to Ring of the little kids too. Like,
right. Kids right. Around you and stuff. Yeah. Exactly. But when I went to Ring of Honor as a fan, everyone was freaking out and losing their minds. I'm like, this is where I belong. This is the greatest thing ever. Yep. And, you know, on top of that, I remember I would take friends of mine from high school who weren't wrestling fans, but I would say, trust me, if you want a really fun, just crazy atmosphere, it's like the craziest concert you've ever been to. That's what I would tell them. Yeah. And they would go, I'll tell you what, this is not like WWE. I really, really like this stuff. This is a lot of fun. So again, it's the only place that you can capture such an intimate, close-up, personal atmosphere is independent wrestling, and at the highest level, you know, your Pro Wrestling Guerrillas and your Ring of Honor. So it's just the best. It's the most fun in the world to perform. Every time you leave, it's a high like no other.
I agree, and it's a good time, I think, right now for indie wrestling. I think it's a lot
absolutely
of fun, and it's got a good following right now. So I guess I just have one last question for you. As soon as you're well, are we going to see you come back and take your ROH title back?
I can guarantee you that will happen. that's that's my focus. That's what's driving me right now, and I mean that in every sense of the word. Ring of Honor itself right now is probably, and I mean this, it's probably the hottest it's ever been. The first quarter for 2015, as far as live attendance goes, is the biggest in company history. We have not drawn this many people to our events. We've had more and more people watching our TV shows. I know that our pay-per-view numbers for the 13th anniversary event in Vegas did very well. It's a really exciting time to be in Ring of Honor, whether that be being a talent or being a fan. So more than ever, when I'm healthy and ready to go, I want to come back and become the next two-time Ring of Honor world champion, baby.
Well, we hope to see it, man. And we're going to be at Ring of Honor in San Jose, so... We're excited for that show, and that excellent. Once again, that'll be my first time seeing Ring of Honor live, so I'm really excited for that, and I can't wait to see what they do that night. Like you said, it's a lot of talent, and it's a solid opportunity to see some of the best wrestling in the world, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Well, that's awesome that you're getting to go for your very first time, because WrestleMania weekend Ring of Honor shows, they really, really bring out the big guns, so I think you'll really enjoy it.
I can't wait, man. Well, thank you once again, Adam Cole, for joining us here on the Steel Cage today. We appreciate it, man.
Oh, thanks guys very much.